Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen, here with Alex King and David Strickle, the Stream of David. Today is Tuesday. Yeah, what day is this? Huh? Tuesday. It's Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, and 4 p.m. New York time, wherever you are in the world. Thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. We're happy to be back with the stream today. It's been one of our most popular features since we introduced it a few weeks ago. And David, I just want to tell you, you made a good decision coming on board. We appreciate it.
Happy to be here. It's always fun to come and do this.
It's fun for us too. I know I've asked you this before, and I'll probably ask it many times just because people may not hear the answer because not everybody listens to every episode, but you get a lot out of this. You've told me that virtually every time we've done a show, and I guess it's a high for you from the way you're describing it.
Oh yeah, definitely. To have this kind of energy flowing and I can pull that energy in anytime unless I'm really down in low vibration. And I have the tools now to move myself up on demand, which is nice. But when it flows through in such a way that you are interacting with it, your audience is interacting with it, it's taking it to a different level. And I can't describe the feeling while that's happening. And then even afterward, it's just like this super buzzy high that I'm on for quite some time. And sometimes in my mastery group, they go super deep with the stream. Mm-hmm. We had an experience in there a couple of weeks ago where we were all on a super high for a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Just super high vibration, not coming down at all. And somebody said, well, we're going to crash at some point. We never crashed, luckily. Yeah, we dropped a little bit over time, certainly. But I was on the super roll for almost 2 weeks.
That's really nice.
It was a crazy experience. So it just shows us what we can do when we keep working and raising our vibration higher and higher and higher.
See, Alex, that's what we've been trying to achieve here on the show. And we've had it for after an episode, we feel good for a while. But 2 weeks, have we reached that yet? I'm not sure we've gotten that far yet.
Well, I think we can only because we do the show every 5 days and you're getting that daily dose. So if you keep it going, you can, it's endless.
This is true. Yeah. It's not like there's a limit.
Listen every day.
Yeah. I just couldn't think of a particular episode where 2 weeks later it's like, oh, I'm still on the high from 2 weeks ago.
That's the only time that's ever happened to me. It was incredible.
But you're looking good too. You got your unicorn headphones back. We were kind of
missing
those. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're looking good. Does your t-shirt have anything on, or is it just
today it's the future is whatever.
Okay. Well, that's pretty open-ended. That's like the ultimate way to live, really.
Yeah.
So good stuff. All right. Our friend Daniel isn't here. We're not quite sure what's going on there, but we'll catch up with him probably on Thursday if he's not going to make it today. So those of you who had one person had sent in a question for him, one person had sent in an email sharing a really cool experience that they'd had with the Money Game book that he added to our app. So we'll save that story for Thursday when Daniel's here so that he can be a part of it, because it's a really cool story. And so at this point, let's just connect to the stream. So David, if you want to do your thing, we will begin that connection. And in the meantime, I'll remind people about the app, which more and more people are downloading, Alex. It's very good to see. Mm-hmm. I just did an upgrade that should make it work even a little bit more smoother for iPhone users. But we've got Cindy's ebook is now on there. The Lovely Magician's Guide to Soulmate Success is now on there. And more stuff coming. David just sent me a link that we're going to be including some stuff on. And Linda Armstrong just sent me a link to a whole video series that she did that includes some guided meditations, among other things. So, So you want to make sure you get that app if you haven't gotten it so far. And you can get it through, you can get it through the website that we have, loatoday.net, but you can also get it just by going to your app store on an iPhone or to your Play Store on an Android and looking for LOA Today. Just that simple. And then you download and install it. And from that point on, you got everything coming. So be a subscriber, be a downloader.
Oh, pause. I wanted to say, I haven't done the Money Game, but let me tell you, just from knowing Daniel, money has been coming my way.
Now that's cool.
Right?
that's kind of similar to the stories that he's told where he's done his workshops. And before they even start doing the workshop, people manifest stuff.
Yeah, I'm getting Amazon refunds, all kinds of crazy stuff.
Really good. Yeah. All right. Well, then maybe you should read the book and actually multiply it, you know?
Oh, I got to read. Can I just hang out with you guys? I'm just going to hang out with you guys and see what rubs off. That's what that would work for me.
Okay. All right. That's the lazy man's way to do it, I guess.
But yeah, that would be Daniel saying, oh, somebody doesn't want to do the work.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
No, I'm just trying to find an easier way to do it. That's what it is.
Okay. Okay.
I'm waiting for the audiobook. That's what I'm waiting for. I have no problem doing the work as long as you tell me. I don't want to have to read it.
Okay. Well, that actually, there is an audiobook on there from Daniel.
But not for the money game, though.
No, but we'll work on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm waiting for.
So anyway, I think the stream is here. Hello, stream. How are you?
We are here.
All right. So we have a number of questions for you. Once again, I want to start with one of my own questions. And listeners who were tuned in last week will remember that I was asking about the nature of source energy and talking about we often talk about expansion and how any time that we have life experiences, anytime that we're exploring new thought patterns and so forth, we are creating expansion. And the question I'd asked was, does that actually lead to an actual increase in the quantity of source energy? And the answer came back yes. So this time I want to ask kind of the reverse of that question. Is there, and I almost hesitate to ask this, is there a way to decrease the amount of source energy? Decrease the quantity?
It is the idea of decreasing. Of course, when you're speaking of quantity, you're speaking in physical human terms.
Right.
And in the energetic realm is an energetic realm indeed, but the energetic realm is consciousness, and consciousness is ever expanding. Every experience creates new consciousness. So there is no experience that is going to cause consciousness to decrease, because every experience without judgment creates new consciousness.
Right. So my implication there is that it's always increasing. It's never decreasing.
It is not possible for it to increase by design, because again, in the idea of expansion or reduction or contraction, you are also quantifying or speaking of positive expanding and perhaps believing that negative would have the opposite effect, but negative does not. Negative only serves the purpose of expanding, inspiring new creation, which expands consciousness. So in that cycle of perfection, there is only expansion available.
Which leads to my follow-up question for this week, which is, if that's the case, if it's constantly an expansion and an increase in the quantity of source energy, as I was describing it, does it ever get crowded? I would imagine the answer is yes. I'm sorry, the answer is no, because of the infinite nature of
right.
life, the universe, and everything. But I figured I had to ask.
You have answered your own question. There is no wall that this consciousness is going to hit and fill up a space. There is no space. There is no maximum amount of consciousness that can be.
Mm-hmm.
It's eternal. It is the true meaning of eternal.
That's pretty cool then. I mean, ever expanding, ever increasing, getting better and better at all times, without time, because time doesn't actually exist. It's an illusion. I mean, just continuous expansion. That's a pretty cool concept.
Now take all of those things that you just said, which are all absolutely accurate, and apply that to your independent strand of consciousness.
Mm.
Because that is true.
And now we know where the phrase mind-blowing comes from.
Because for you, in your eternal consciousness state, you are fully aware that you are endless, and that everything that you perceive as negative in your physical experience only exists to inspire new creation, which inspires expansion. So therefore, for you, there is no negative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also want to ask one other question before I get to our listeners' questions. It comes out of a conversation that I had in yesterday's program with Louis D'Souza. Louis was talking about an out-of-body experience he had had one time. And in that experience, he found himself rather dramatically shifted into what felt like to him just being in a pure flow of source energy. And it was an overwhelmingly powerful one. The takeaway that he brought from it was, it really showed him just the infinite power through it, what felt like a direct experience, the infinite power of source energy. And I'm not quite sure how to phrase the question, because how do you describe how big infinite is? But I'll take a shot anyway. Just how powerful is source energy anyway?
We are the source of all creation, and we are original thought. So powerful that the entire universe was created and continues to be powered and expanded by this.
So I guess the answer is pretty much what I expected. It is infinitely powerful.
Indeed. Yeah. And the answers to these questions, notice how the simplest answers are the ones that open your mind the most.
Yes.
Very often these otherworldly answers of other galaxies and other planets and other beings and all the complexity of all of that, this is human creation. Mm-hmm. To try to harness the idea of the magnitude of our energy.
Right.
We do not need to use all of that to describe that which we are. We are vast and we are powerful, but it is all actually very simple. Mm.
Yeah, which is cool. Okay, so time to get to the listener questions. And the first one comes from Avinash, who asked a question a few weeks back. This time he's asking about COVID. He says, will the COVID situation ever change, or has our world changed forever with COVID among us? I'm not sure those two are mutually exclusive, but go ahead.
COVID is a byproduct of a shift in vibration in your environment. And the shift in vibration was driven by the inhabitants of planet Earth questioning and collectively raising vibration via the questioning. And in the raising vibration, different things or attributes of your planet are disrupted. And the disruption, once again, is not a negative thing. It may be viewed as a negative thing. But notice the disruption that has occurred on your planet in the past couple of decades in your time. The coming to light of misdeeds of some of your religions, the lack of usefulness for things such as your monarchy, the questioning of your governments, the lower participation in government by younger generations who are no longer seeing the need for it because they were born up to speed with the time they are entering. And even law enforcement. Look at all the things that you see happening simultaneously on your planet due to the questioning of, and then you see some disruption and you see some pushing back. You see governments wanting to utilize an illness to push back and assert more control. This is not a negative thing. This is a sign of old ways of thinking, trying to fight for life. And the humans that are stuck in that, what you may call 3D reality, wanting to keep playing by the old rules. Yet the rules of the environment have clearly changed. So your planet is not going to exactly go back to the way that it was, but you are all going to continue to adjust to the new reality. And you're not going to walk around saying that you are now in 5D or anything of that nature. You are still going to have problems on your planet. They are going to shift in nature, and many things are going to bubble up to be presented for addressing. The racial inequalities, the issues around child trafficking, the issues around certain celebrities putting on a facade that are not accurate. All of these things are bubbling to the surface at this time to present themselves for detuning. Some of them are minuscule in magnitude, and some of them are going to shift consciousness forever on your planet. All of it serves expansion. It is all positive for humanity. And there are elements of it that we understand can be frightening, because change is frightening. But the idea of COVID-19 being vastly different from other illnesses that already exist is not true. And the idea of something that might end your existence is also not true. The idea of an illness that will certainly draw certain humans to their completed state is true, but that is always true. Mm-hmm. So taking that message of this specific thing and labeling it with a frightening label and reporting on it 24/7 with a death toll ticking on the side of the screen has created a consciousness around this that has unnecessarily created hysteria, and the hysteria has shifted the vibration into one of disruption. And the disruptive vibration has caused other things to bubble up. And in all of this, you see that all of it is as a result of the shifting vibration of the planet. Not one of these things is independent of another. They are all playing together to deliver you to this new reality where you are questioning like never before. And you will continue to do so. And things that have been longstanding, perhaps even hidden, will come to the surface and present themselves as truths and be detuned in the process.
So if I go back to the question, will the COVID situation ever change, or has our world changed forever with COVID among us? And taking what you just said, I think I would kind of combine it all together and say, well, of course, the situation is always changing. It's going to continue.
Everything is always changing. What occurs when you perceive something is something that is unwanted, not unusual for you and your personal lives and humanity as a whole to drop in vibration down into fear, panic, anger, things of this nature. We label that as a step one reaction. The step one reaction, if you allow that step one reaction to be all that is, eventually the collective vibration is going to rise, because the vibration is always impacted by polarity, and polarity is drawing vibration up and down in a steady flow. So the vibration is going to rise, and you have a couple of choices in your lives independently and as humanity. You can see something that occurs and drop into step one and be fearful or angry, some sort of a negative emotion that can be quite powerful. And then that vibration rises, and more times than not, what occurs is you turn your attention away from it, because your vibration rises and you move on to other things. But that negative thing, that unwanted thing, the vibration of that is still present. So it recurs. It comes back again and again and again in your life. It comes back again and again and again for humanity. This is why many, many years pass and certain issues that you all agree you need to solve do not get solved, because you go through this flow. A set of events happens, it sets off fear and anger and uprising, and the vibration eventually rises, and the collective attention is turned toward other things. But when you become more intentional in the moment, and this works very well in your lives, this is a very important teaching that you're about to hear. When you train yourself to no longer be triggered down into fear and anger, and view that negative event in appreciation of it, even if the only appreciation that you can find is the fact that it has presented itself for your discernment, go toward appreciation of it for that fact only. Allow the vibration to rise. It will rise more swiftly while you're still in the vibration of that moment. And suddenly the tools to solve that problem will actually appear, will manifest magically. This is true on any topic. So moving out of that cycle of being triggered down into lower vibration, and then over time allowing polarity to pull your vibration back up and turning the attention away from it, is not as effective as learning to not be triggered. This is what David teaches people all the time, all over the world, to no longer be triggered and to release the things from their lives that create the triggers. And when you do that, you have more power over your vibration. And when you do it systematically, your default vibration goes up, and suddenly you are seeing fewer of the negative things that triggered you in the first place, because you're no longer fearing them, because now you have the tools to solve them. And when you do dip down in vibration just a little bit, you are keenly aware of it. And not only are you keenly aware of it, you now have the tools to solve it, and it becomes a gift to you. Because you now have an opportunity to create something new with the tools to create it instantaneously. And in your instantaneous creation, you bounce higher than ever.
I'm reminded of the first time that I heard, here on the show actually, from one of my co-hosts, heard the idea that it's a good thing to appreciate and to value stuff that I really don't like at all, and that I really wish would go away. And the first time I heard that, it was like a shock to the system. It was like, oh no, I can't, you can't do that. That's, you know, that just violates who I am as a human being, or, you know, stuff like that. It took a while to kind of sit with it and realize, yeah, it really is true, because what I'm really doing, first of all, is I'm taking away the sting of it. I'm making it no longer a stinging kind of event. And then secondly, I'm setting myself up for that gift that you were just discussing, that gift that arrives of resolving it. And it's a gift that can't arrive. That's the ironic part. It can't arrive until I reach the first part, which is appreciating and accepting it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. This is why we say that not all humans certainly are ready for our message. But it's also why we chose to flow the way that we do through David, because he actually had the tools to put together a practice that you can all adapt into your lives that allow this way of thinking to become your new lifestyle. And when it does, your life shifts dramatically. So that set of teachings gives you everything that you need to stop that process. But if you want to stay in victim mode, you are not ready for that process. Mm-hmm. If you want to stay in things trigger you down and you need to be angry to solve it mode, you are not ready for that process. Most are not. Most want to hold themselves in that cycle of getting angry and feeling victimized and allowing that to wane over time and simply turning their attention away from it until it presents itself again. But when you live enough life, and this is not necessarily about linear time, but when you've had enough life experience to where these unwanted things come around again and again and again in a cycle, and you believe that you cannot change them, that's when you're ready for this practice. That's when you're ready to do anything that it takes, because you understand that there are ways to break this cycle. You see others thriving and you wish to thrive in the same way. And you understand that you hold abundance blocks. And this is the nature of abundance blocks. That abundance block is not about you not being able to align with something or not for long enough. It is about this cycle of polarity that you all operate in, and having something that triggers you down into low vibration. And when you're down there, creating more obstacles in that low vibration. And not only that, slowing and canceling out the things that you were creating when you were up.
Very, very powerful stuff. So Avinash, I think you got an answer to your question that far exceeded the question and got some great information there. I hope you appreciate that, because that was very core, that concept that the stream just gave us. That was a really core concept. And I noticed that our friend Dan Mangana has logged in. And Daniel, we were wondering if you're going to make an appearance today, but we're glad to see you. How's it going?
I had some stuff to be appreciative of. I returned on a wave of appreciation. We had an interesting experience with Amex. There's been plenty of opportunities for me to go down said spiral, but it's actually all resolved really beautifully, and everything's actually, yeah, reducing the importance, staying in appreciation, staying in flow.
Beautiful.
Here we are.
All right, good stuff. We actually have, I thought I was going to have to save this until Thursday because I wasn't sure if you'd be able to make it today, but we have a couple messages for you that we'll get to when we're done with the stream messages coming at the end of the show. Emails that came in from listeners, including one who had a tremendous success with your book that is on the app. Yeah. The money game.
The person
got started doing the money game and manifested a nice huge chunk of money. It was pretty cool.
I love hearing those.
So that'll come after we're done with asking these questions of the stream. This was the first question that the stream answered today, and already our minds are blown. So, well, it's the first listener question. I had a couple of my own that blew my mind as well. You know, so if you see my hair follicles pointing off in weird directions, Dan, you'll understand why.
On a Tuesday or a Thursday?
Right.
So anyway, we have our next question from Jenny. Now, Jenny is asking about, she phrases it this way, regarding helping another to heal, I would like to do that for an elderly parent with dementia. So, stream, she's asking for information about how to help heal her elderly parent.
We will begin with wanting to communicate a clear understanding that all healing is truly self-healing. But we understand your desire to want to assist and facilitate. And the very best that you have to offer is the very best version of you. If one can conjure the idea of someone healing them and turn their power over to the other who is supposedly healing them, that is another form of self-healing, because even though they've given their power away, they are healing themselves in their belief of the one who is healing them. That high vibration connection between the one who is needing healing and the one who is facilitating healing can work. But the one who needs the healing must intellectually be able to grasp the idea of the healer facilitating the healing. If the being is not such a mind that they could think that way, we guide you to step back a bit and understand that every being on this planet came to experience positive and negative. And there is value in the negative. And when one is suffering, we understand the vibration of humanity. We understand very much your benevolent desire to assist. And we're not guiding you away from that desire. We're not even guiding you away from necessarily attempting to do such. But when you feel like you can't do that because they cannot grasp the idea of healing themselves or perhaps giving you the power to do that, the very best next thing that you can go to vibrationally is stepping back and allowing them to have their experience. Sending them your best vibes is not a bad thing, but ultimately the healing is internal work. And if they are not healing, there is a soul consciousness there that is drawing them through this experience. And it's something that perhaps you do not understand from your perspective, but you are not living their experience. So we guide you to step away from the need to facilitate a specific outcome and even the need to judge their experience for them and simply be there for them in a positive way and allow them to have their experience.
Once again, touching on the same subject that we did with Avinash about learning to appreciate stuff that we don't like.
Again, you are all told things that if you zoom out and analyze these things from an ego perspective even, you are told that pain is bad and death is bad and that obstacles are bad, yet that is a common thread that you all experience all of these things. It is part of your life experience, no matter who you are. You are going to experience setbacks. You are going to have challenges. You're going to have obstacles. Your body is going to suffer some sort of illnesses. You're all on different paths, so you all manifest different levels of these things. But you all do it, and you all eventually will have what you would call a death experience where you return to your completed state. But you are taught to fear and avoid all of these things. And look at how controlled you are in your fear of failure and how controlled you are in your fear of pain and fear of disappointment even. How many things you choose not to do because you're fearing even just the vibration, the feeling of being disappointed. Yet you've all survived being disappointed.
Yeah.
You've all survived minor illnesses. You've all survived your major illnesses if you're interacting with us in this way. So you've all done it. Yet you return back to that fear vibration because you were programmed that way by your society. When you detune the fear of illness and setbacks and disappointment and even death, suddenly you begin to really soar. You begin to truly live for the first time ever when you detune those emotions.
Yep, that's really what it's all about. So, okay, Jenny, you just got an answer that may not have been quite what you were hoping for, but it's a very powerful one. And the good news is you can send your vibes to the other person. You just have to be willing to accept what their decision is. I think that's really an important thing. I've talked about that topic quite a bit in the past, and my message has always been along the lines of, let's be respectful to the person who's making perhaps a different decision for what you might have made. I mean, they are just as powerful source energy creators as you are, you know, and they may not be making the same decisions about what they want to create from what you would want to create, but that's part of what makes the world go round. That's part of what makes the whole thing work.
Zooming out to the perspective that all contrast holds value. And when you start wanting to hold others away from their contrast, you are attempting to hold them away from the very experience that their soul came here to have. Mm. So viewing these things from a different perspective and think about how different your vibration will be when you can zoom out and appreciate all that is in your world, even those who are suffering. And in that high vibrational state, you will be contributing far more to the stream of humanity. And there's far more value in that contribution in healing and solving than there is in zipping down your spiral into lower vibration and disliking and trying to hold others away from their contrast. The universe works in reverse of what humanity often teaches. And in fact, we would almost guide you to question everything and think exactly opposite of it. And then you would be in tune to universal law.
It's an interesting approach too. And one that I have to say I have used at times because it can be quite powerful to do that. So anyway, our next question comes from Nina. Now Nina has been doing meditation and she says during her meditation, she's been experiencing a tingling in her palms and the soles of her feet. She says she experiences this with all kinds of meditations, from those led by the Stream or Abraham Hicks or a general meditation app that she likes to use. She says she's interpreted these as a sensation of energy and a sign perhaps that her meditation practice has deepened. So she wants to know, is her assumption correct? And she wants to know, how can she further deepen her meditation practice?
Just like anything else that you do in a physical environment, the more you do it, the more adept you become at it. And the energy that you're feeling is energy that is already present in all of you. Our energy, you come preloaded with our energy connection. The pinching off of, if you will, we know you understand that term, is your training that you receive from birth and even prior in your environment to not pay attention to that, to focus on what you would call 3D reality, to live in the real world, to not use your imagination so much. All of those things that you're taught cut you off from what is already there. So when you begin a practice of quieting your mind, and only if you can do it for a few seconds, and you begin doing that on a regular basis, daily or as often as possible, and even if it's just for a few moments, you will reach a place where you will understand that that energy, that vibration is active within you, and you can access it instantaneously, especially if you do some work to keep your default vibration higher. And that work revolves around detuning your transgressors, detuning all of the things that you allow to weigh you down, the things that you're absorbing in your environment, the things that you hearken back to in your past that you view as painful. All of these things lower your vibration. There are many things in your environment that can lower your vibration. And when you start taking those things out of your life, your vibration naturally rises. And you can get so high that you no longer need to concern yourself about specific manifestations on any topic. Because in that higher vibrational state, everything will begin to flow on every topic.
Yep. Okay. Very good. Now, Josie asks a question that's follow-up in many ways to Nina's question. I don't think they were really talking to each other as they were doing this, but it's also a follow-up to Jenny's question. But Josie asks, how much energetic impact can one individual alone have on the human collective by shifting their vibration?
You are part of a collective, and there is no one strand of consciousness that is going to shift the entire consciousness of humanity, certainly. But you are all contributing on different levels because you're all here having different experiences and vibrating in different frequencies. There is a range that you are all in. That's why you have this range of experiences that you see across humanity. And the higher you work yourself and the more you have to contribute, the faster your stream speeds up, the more enriched your life experience becomes. And in that state, you are contributing at the highest levels that are currently happening on your planet. Certainly, there are things that you can accomplish in your super high vibrational state that can shift the physical version of humanity, a massive invention that changes the world, if you will. That's available, certainly. But the need to do that is also driven by ego, so you have to be able to keep that in balance or you spin out of control. That there are some inventors that are famous on your planet that created things that changed the world, and notice they all spun out of control. So if you were willing to pay that price, understand that the willingness to pay that price is rooted in your ego. You sort of go over the cliff with this. At your very best, we understand the crux of the question is raising your vibration as high as you can and keeping the balance between ego and all that is available to you from the energetic realm and allow the creation of higher vibrational energy and an open mind to be your number one creation and not need it to be a specific product with your name on it that transmutes humanity, because that's rooted in ego and will end up being your undoing as a human being.
Very interesting point. Okay. Well, Jeffrey actually asked a question in the live stream that's pretty much a follow-up to what Josie's question is, so I'll bring that in now. And this kind of ties back to what you were talking about, I think, in regard to Nina's question. He says, are triggers good things, like revealing the lower vibrations that can be worked on to raise?
Triggers are good things in just that. Your triggers are things that are displaying for you exactly what you need to work on to raise your default vibration. This is why we go back to there is really no negative. Your triggers are not negative, but your triggers exist to show you what you need to clean up in your vibrational field, because you can trace your triggers back to root transgressors. And when you trace your triggers back to root transgressors and detune the root transgressors through a process of appreciation, that root transgressor is forever changed in your human point of view. And when you do that, the trigger is gone. The trigger did its job. The trigger was not the real transgressor. The trigger was born of a root. And that root created branches, and those branches created multiple triggers. So that one trigger is a gift.
Okay, so there you go, Jeffrey. I think the answer to your question is a solid yes. Not just yes, it's a solid yes. And so next question comes from Andy. Now, Andy's question is kind of a throwback to the earlier questions, mainly Avinash and Jenny's questions. Andy says, well, first of all, he says he loves the app. Great. And he loves the colors. Great. He says his question is, how can one be centered in the troubled world we live in?
By doing the entire running theme of this interaction is understanding that there's nothing troubled about your world. And when you can zoom out and view everything in appreciation for the gifts that are offered in them, as we have explained, there's nothing to be troubled about. And it is very easy to balance your ego consciousness and your soul consciousness in that zoomed out perspective. In fact, the word enlightened is used very often. And someone described David as enlightened not long ago. David was originally not comfortable with that term, and then has stepped back and become comfortable with however people label him and this. And in that stepping into comfort of it has come to understand our perspective of that which you call enlightened is one who can zoom out to the highest perspective that is available to all of you, where you truly understand that positive and negative coexist for a reason, because all of the things that you consider negative are there to inspire new creation. And all of that new creation in the form of solutions and evolution and things of that nature create expansion. And consciousness is ever expanding. So consciousness feeds off of the things that you consider negative in your physical world, and all of the creations that you craft, and think of how many there are. Look around you. Everything around you is a creation born of a need from a perceived deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And that is true for every unwanted aspect of your environment. So when you're zoomed out and you are truly connected with the eternal version of you, you are no longer fearing death. You are no longer fearing your obstacles. You are no longer fearing setbacks or pain. You are no longer needing to create a specific outcome for your awakening to occur. You are no longer needing to manifest anything specifically to feel your worthiness. You are no longer needing to create in the life experience of another. Mm-hmm. You are no longer needing an outcome for them. So when you stop needing an outcome for them and fully, the most benevolent thing that you can do, and we want you all to hear this, the most benevolent thing that you can do is allow your fellow beings to have the experience they came to have. You are not here to save others for themselves. And in fact, we will tell you that's rooted in ego.
Sure.
You believe you're being benevolent when you want to stop consuming your animals to save them from that. And you want to stop illness and you want to stop all of these things for other people. That is really rooted in ego, because your soul consciousness understands all beings' eternal nature. And all beings desire to come and have a contrasting experience for the expansion that's offered. So this idea of benevolence, you are wanting to soothe your own ego with your own superiority because you're such a nice person. We understand that these words are troubling to hear for many, but we are here to crack your minds open a bit, to understand that your need to save another being from their contrast is rooted in your ego. Ego is not all bad. And we are not saying, do not try to solve the problems of your planet. In fact, we are saying exactly the opposite of that. It is okay to see famine and want to solve it. That is expansion. It's okay to see a pandemic and want to solve it. That is expansion. But when you see the pandemic and you race down your spiral in fear and you label the world heading in a wrong direction and that everything is so bad and so awful and so negative and how can you stay up when everything is so bad? You've got nothing to offer in that low vibrational space. The solution to the pandemic, the solution to any economic crisis, the solution to a famine, the solution to illness, all of it is at the top of the spiral, collectively for humanity and for you individually. So again, we go back to the running theme of the perfection of this interaction, that the learning to think differently, learning to think in almost what we would label a superhuman way, and it's available to each and every one of you. And if you were listening to these words, you are ready to at least ponder this idea or you would not be here right now. The getting to that space of skipping over the racing down into fear and judgment and anger and going right to appreciating that something is presenting itself for detuning, finding appreciation for whatever is, whatever negative unwanted thing that you have that you've labeled that way, and instead of allowing your emotions to be triggered down in vibration over it, say, aha, I appreciate that this has presented itself for me to detune. Whatever it is, raise your vibration and appreciation of it and understand that in that high vibrational space, that's really all you need do for the solutions to flow. Again, this is true for you trying to solve something in your personal life, and certainly true for the collective of humanity. When humanity learns to do that, you are going to become superhumans indeed and learn to solve your problems very swiftly. There will always be problems, but you will learn to solve them in a very different way. If you want to know what the true definition of enlightenment is, that is it. And if you want to know what the true definition of moving beyond 3D is, that is it.
It's interesting to me how the questions that we received this week are all very much in the same vein. So often with these kinds of things, like, for instance, when you look at an Abraham Hicks video, we see Abraham getting questions about, well, I'm dealing with this situation in my life. I'm dealing with that situation. I can't seem to overcome that. Why is this person behaving? You see those kinds of questions a lot. These questions are all much more higher end, ultimate questions as humans call them. And they're all tying into the same theme that you pretty much started the show off with today. I guess that's also another example of law of attraction in action, but I think it's cool. I think it's cool that first of all, it reflects well on our listenership.
Interactions that have allowed an audience to emerge that are ready for a higher level of interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that.
Not all beings are, and not all that are interacting with teaching such as this are ready for this.
Nope.
And you're seeing the perfection unfold before you.
But it's just cool that so many of the questions, all the questions are pretty much in that same general area. So well done, listeners, is what I'm saying.
It's so much better to start at the top and work your way backward and instead of coming on and asking, how do I manifest a Maserati?
Yeah. Not that we'll turn down the Maserati, but yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a Maserati, but we are not holding any of you away from your material goods, even a flow of wealth. All of those things are energetic, and they are here for you to discern as your preference. But the reason that we flow through David the way that we do is that he spent a lifetime, the first 20 years of his adult life or more, manifesting material things and wealth, and it did so with ease, from nothing, from less than nothing. That was the easy part for him. The difficult part was the self-love, self-appreciation, true awakening portion that he had to work on. And in working through all of the negative that he endured, he understood that he created the negative to take him to the higher place where he wanted to go. And we are flowing now with the information for all of you who are ready to do exactly the same thing, and understanding that when you take yourself up to the level that we are guiding you, you are not taking a vow of poverty to do that. That when you get to this level, you understand that the universe will always pamper you. And that indeed, in the words that have been uttered many times in this interaction, money is a game.
Indeed.
Because it's vibrational. And if you make a game out of it and make it something that is fun, you raise the vibration around it. It is as simple as that. So yes, you need money to do the things that you would like to do on your planet. That is the environment that you all projected into. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But understand that money in and of itself is not going to make you happy. The raising of the vibration and the gaining clarity allows everything to flow. It is a situation where you are appreciating your cycle, even if you are gushing with money and then have a temporary setback and an illness, finding appreciation for it instantaneously and healing. And having a rift in a relationship and finding appreciation for wherever that relationship is and solving that and healing that. It all works the same, and it can all work and start humming simultaneously in a very high vibrational way. Where you are not necessarily living in what the 3D version of perfection is, but from a higher zoomed out perspective, you are absolutely living perfection, because you come to understand that the little all hold great value, and you come to relish them.
It's really interesting. As we've been carrying on this conversation, you've been using phrases that we've heard Abraham use, we've heard other teachers use as well. And they're phrases that we've used here on the program on numerous occasions. And for whatever reason, they are kind of reverberating in my mind and making me take a moment to just stop and say, you know, I can also express it in a different way. And that the phrase I'm particularly honing in on is, we're not saying that there's anything wrong with it. We're not saying there's anything wrong with it. We've repeated that phrase, and you've repeated that phrase a number of times here. And I'm thinking, well, we can also turn that phrase around and say, it's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. It's actually pretty good. In fact, it's really good because it's creating the expansion. So all these things that we've talked about, and we've talked about COVID, we've talked about the different trials and tribulations going on planet Earth, all the different scenarios that have been dreamed up by humanity and that humanity is working through in a contrasting environment. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good.
It is all there to serve the expansion. And you are all about expansion. That's why you come. That's why you come. We are all about expansion. That's why we are flowing the way that we are through David, to share this expansive message. Because the more human beings that get this and move to a zoomed out state of thinking, the faster you are going to continue to speed up the stream of planet Earth, and the more humanity and the vibration of planet Earth is going to pick up in momentum, and the more positive changes you are going to see. And it's not about everything being perfect. There are illnesses that will attack your bodies, or weather patterns that will cause havoc. And there's all these things that will always be in a physical environment. They will shift and evolve and change over time. But the solving of them creates the expansion, and the expansion creates the experience that all physical exists for. That's the important point that we are here to make. This is why we are guiding you to not worry so much about holding yourselves away from pain and suffering in the end of that which you believe you are, perhaps in 3D, and certainly not trying to hold others away from it. Because when you're trying to hold away from something and you're pushing against and you're fighting it, you are just perpetuating more of. And there's evidence of that all around you. When you stop fighting it and you stop needing, and you work on just generally raising your vibration through appreciation, through self-love, through quieting your mind and allowing the energy that is already there to expand, and doing it in a systematic way where it becomes your new way of life, the energy will continue to expand within you. And more clear you will get. And the more you will be able to look back at everything that's happened in your life in full appreciation for where it has brought you. And then when you have that perspective about you, we ask you to zoom out and hold that same perspective about all of humanity, in fact, all of creation.
And as you're talking about that, I'm realizing that the rule we touched on a moment ago applies here as well. It's perfectly okay. It's a good thing to be pushing against, trying to stop, because we're just building up that contrast. It's leading to more expansion. It's more good stuff.
And there are plenty of people on your planet that are in the pushing against.
Oh, in a big way.
Anytime soon.
Yeah, it's not like it's going to come to a stop. And that's fine. I think the whole point here is if we want individually to learn how to leverage what we're trying to get to faster in ways that are more expeditious, that's why it's so valuable to understand, well, here's what happens when you push against. Here's what happens when you stop pushing against. That's where the great value is. It's really about learning how to drive the car. It's not trying to understand how the car works, although that's part of it for me. I love learning how the car works. But it's about learning how to drive the car and identifying where the steering wheel is and where the brakes are and where the accelerator is and where the gear shift is and all that stuff.
When you know how to drive the car, operating the car effectively and efficiently is far easier.
Yes.
And it's a more satisfying experience.
It is. Yes. I have never had the experience of accidentally driving into a brick wall, and I want to avoid that one. So that's why I want to learn how to drive the car. So good. This is good stuff. I want to bring in a couple of things with Daniel. So I'm going to ask David to reconnect to being David again. And I want to share with Daniel, while David is making his reconnection to being himself, a couple of emails that we got, Dan. One email came in, just said, I want to get a message to Dan Mangana. I have been reading his free book on the app. Yay. Thanks for that. I've been listening to LOI today for a year or more. I did try the money game and manifested $500 on the first try. Also, I sang the intention from the visit that we had last week from our wonderful guest from Down Under, and based on her advice. And she didn't really say what the result of that part was, but she wanted to say either way wanted to share the success. So I guess what she's saying is she had success with both of those. And that was from Sarita. So
that makes me happy. So keep playing. One thing that we find with people is they get massive wins and then sort of slow down instead of
maintaining the momentum
and anchoring it in. Because it's not about the money. It was never about the money. What it is about is having the opportunity to witness that you set an intention and notice the shift in your ability to call in something that you've asked for. Then you can apply that to health. You can apply it to your relationships. And then once that becomes a new norm, then you can chin on it. And then it doesn't become this big thing. It's, oh, I'm creating. This is what I do. And then it can become more fun.
And then the second email came from Nina. Nina also said, my message is for Daniel Mangana. She says, I started playing the money game based on the ebook in the LOA Today app a few days ago. She said, I set out to receive $1. Today, I was thinking about the game on my walk and found 2 pennies. And toward the end of my walk, as I felt called to walk down a particular street and feeling very aligned with my intention, I found a piece of a $5 bill. Now, while I was delighted by what I felt was a strong sign of abundance from the universe, this piece of a bill isn't quite usable currency. So I'm very interested in Daniel's feedback and interpretation of this unique experience.
All right, so this is really interesting. So what we found when I first started sharing the game like a couple of years ago was people get like lots of free stuff. So they get, I got one guy who got like $300 worth of free train tickets immediately, but he couldn't make a dollar work. And we've had someone that's in my program now. She's actually, David had the chance to meet her, last week, Shawnee from my mastermind. She's won the lottery 12 times in a row. But she gets like $2, $3, $5, $1. But she's won it 12 times in a row.
Right.
And my personal perspective with these things, when we get something but it's not really got as much utility as if it was like a full $5 bill or a $1 million ticket, it's celebrate it. Appreciation. It ties in what the stream shows of us. Because what's happening, I truly feel, and what you believe is what really matters, is that you're being given the opportunity to see that it's available to you and that you're on the right track. So just tune in. And I love the stream's message. Appreciation, celebration. Oh, wow. I'm excited to see how it's going to feel when I get the whole $5 bill. I love this. I had one woman who's in my program. She was trying for like 2 months to get her $10, but she would get like $2 here or like 2 cents here, 5 cents there. And I told her, gather all of these in and make a little altar. This is just a permission slip. Make a little altar and celebrate it. Put it somewhere you can see it every day. Just have gratitude for that. And she got $100 bill in one go, walking along $100 bill. But it's the energy of appreciation that gets you in track, in tune, in alignment with it. So with people that are getting free stuff, celebrate the free stuff. And in your mind's eye, imagine how it would feel if the money equivalent had come to you. Another woman in our program, she keeps getting free food from Panera and free food from KFC. Like every time she goes there, she gets something free. It's ridiculous. But she hasn't been able to do $5. So drop it down to a dollar or more and appreciation for what comes in, tune in, and imagine how it would be if it was cash. Because the mind doesn't know the difference between it as money or as a gift. It's just an electrical impulse. And the universe is showing you, I want to give you, I want to give you, which means that it's the mind that's creating the disconnect. So by you using appreciation to switch your emotional state around it, and then the opening that's created by that appreciation, use it to change the electrical signal by visualizing it as something else. It opens up the funnel and allows it to pop out.
Yep, that's good. In fact, when I was editing the version of the money book on the money game on the app, because I had to make it fit the format of the phone, among other things. I had to read through it as I was doing this, right? I couldn't do the exercises, but I was reading through it as I'm doing all this stuff. And the theme that kept coming back to me over and over and over again was kind of similar to what the stream was sending us through David today. They didn't actually use this terminology, but they kept hitting the same point over and over again, and it just kept hitting me as repetition. It's just you keep repeating. You repeat the steps over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. With the money game, that's literally what you do. You do this again and again and again and again and again. You have little variations, little changes that you make to keep it interesting, keep yourself focused. But you're doing it again, and you're basically driving home on your subconscious mind, this is the way my life is. My life is always abundant. My life is always creating. My life is always producing all this stuff. The repetition's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, who we are right now, we're just that because the mind's been told this is the norm. So when we establish a new norm, then that becomes the new norm because the norm is the norm. And the norm didn't come from nowhere. The norm that we have now is because we've been allowing, enforcing, or repeating behaviors that have established that to be the norm. The mind doesn't lie to us. It goes on the evidence. So when you're bringing conscious awareness to consistently creating even small sums, the amount doesn't matter to the mind, it's the receivership. So when we get out of our own way through appreciation on some new dollar, no, it's creation. Celebrate it. Lift yourself up. That, we have crimes of passion and mind doesn't matter. Emotions will trump the mind every time. When you're getting into that space of appreciation, your vibrational frequency will rewire your brain and create a new synapses, new thinking patterns, and that will open up the door for you to receive more.
So, Alex, you were...
David. The part of the $5 bill is definitely a sign that they manifested saying you're on your way to doing this effectively. And the first thing I thought of is the odds of finding part of a $5 bill are probably...
That's true.
How many times do people actually rip up a $5 bill, right?
Right.
So the odds are probably more in line with, you know, $100,000. Yeah. Think about it. So think about it, you know, in terms of that. And that's something I love what Dan teaches, because tricking your mind into the celebration mode, because everything's our manifestation, to celebrate it all, that puts you, and that's why I love that it's called the money game, because, yeah, if you make it fun, you
know. When you were learning yourself through what the stream was teaching you when you were in your teens, did you think of it as a game?
I kind of did. I remember I've told people the story a million times about 1982. I'm 14. I'm explaining in detail the law of attraction to my brother. I didn't know what it was called. I thought I invented it. At 14, I said, I have this crazy thing and I don't know why, but I just know that it's true that, because we were poor, you know, if I believe that I have, I'm going to have, because everyone around us had everything. We had nothing, literally nothing. Mm-hmm. And my brother thought it was nuts, but I just knew it was true. I didn't know what it was called. I just knew it was true. So I made it my little game to start sort of pretending. Mm-hmm. And in the pretending, the things that I was pretending that I had actually materialized around me as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Brand new car, clothes, you know, all kinds of stuff. It was crazy. It was crazy. And then I just continued in that vein until I was 40 and realized, okay, I need more than just stuff now.
If nothing else, you had to get a new house so you could have room for all the stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm doing that. With age comes wisdom. Bigger house. I had rooms I didn't go in for months full of stuff.
But with age and experience comes wisdom, right?
Facts.
And a full attic.
Well, I got rid of it. I liquidated everything and was happy that it now I've accumulated a lot more. But, yeah, I am. I walked away from all that.
So, Alex, I was saying what my thing was that I kept noticing about the show. Anything in particular that was grabbing your attention as you're listening, first of all, to the stream and then to what Daniel was saying about the two emails?
I was feeling the same about what Daniel was saying about the two emails because, like I was saying earlier, that since I've been hanging out with Daniel, like, I haven't read The Money Game, but, like, things have been happening. Like, it's crazy. I got my wedding dress for free. I had bought it on Amazon and then ended up getting my money back for it.
Wow.
So, yeah. And that's just one of the many things that's been happening. I get food for free all the time. But like you said, my brain doesn't know the difference between cash and credit, so I don't really care. It's all coming. I don't care. It's all going back on my card. I don't care. But like I said, when you get the Audible, that's when I'll start. That's when I'll do it.
I've got literally Amazon's delivering. I've actually got a run. I've got that call with my system, but Amazon's delivering like my new SM7B, and I've got like one of those little things that Walt's got, and I'm actually going to do a video book of it.
Ooh.
Oh snap! I like that even more.
I've got a carpenter coming to put like a bookshelf behind here, so I can have like a little backdrop thing. I'm going to do a video book.
Awesome. I like that. See, Walt, you say, I just put it out in the universe and this is what happens.
It's incredible. I tell you. You're good.
I have the MP3 Audible thing, but I'm going to be doing a video book. And for my YouTube channel, which the guys are working on now, I'm going to do some sections of Stepping Your Intention mm-hmm. With like additional teaching for my YouTube channel.
Nice.
Fabulous. Well, once again, we have achieved new levels of vibration. Are you still buzzing, David? I know that you're always buzzing after you come off.
I'm up there. Yeah. No, it's I'm going to take the rest of the day off and just be. Yeah.
Same, bro. Same.
Sounds very cool to me. I think I'll do the same thing. So thank you all for listening. Thank you to those who sent in questions. And by the way to send in questions, as well as being the way to reach out to Daniel and the way to reach out to David and to ask a question for the stream and to ask a question for Rita on Fridays, it's the same answer in all cases. It's the LOA Today app. So use the app if you've downloaded it. If you haven't downloaded it, download it first and then use it. And it's just that simple. But do send your questions in because as you can see, we get them all in. We make sure they all get answered. And we're looking forward to hearing what questions you have to ask of the stream next Tuesday. So, guys, thank you so much. Thank you, David, for joining us on this Tuesday. Thank you, Alex, for the wonderful insight at the end and the story about manifestation of the wedding dress. Ooh, I didn't know about that one.
Yeah, that's cool. New.
And thank you, Daniel, for the answers to the emails about, you know, what this appreciation thing is all about. I appreciate your appreciating. I do. So thank you very much. And thank you also especially to our podcast listeners. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.